Thank you. Please be seated. It's always a privilege to stand before all of you and just to be a part of this family, because we have an amazing God who so wants to be a part of our lives, and we're just blessed. And it's always a privilege to teach on Mother's Day, because being a mother is one of the most exciting professions that I have. But, you know, I'm kind of enjoying being a grandma. I think it's almost easier. It's so much fun. You can spoil and throw them back. Get even with your kids. But I thought, today being Mother's Day, what's a characteristic of a mother? And one thing a mother has learned from the very moment she became a mother is that she was expecting. So my title, my teaching today is, Are You Expecting? Every mom's gone through a 9-month period to have a baby, and in those 9 months you expect a lot of things. You know for sure a baby's coming out. You're not going to have a giraffe or a seal or something like that, but you know, God in his plan, when he planted seed, that seed would flourish. And you know, when that baby started, there was no turning back. I remember I had a very long delivery with our son, Tim. And, of course, I always got the Bob up in the middle of the night. And the doctor said, well, looks like we're going to have a cesarean. And he goes, well, he's not into blood or anything. So he goes, well, I'm not going to be there. I go, well, I'm not going to be there if you're not going to be there. So we're kind of stuck here because we're expecting this baby and it needs to come out. But, you know, God from the very beginning of time expected each one of us. And it says, let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. We'll start there. You know, for women, we have 9 months to expect and then a whole lifetime to enjoy and to nurture and to be aware of our children and their lives and the blessings it is. But in Ephesians chapter 3, chapter 1, verse 3, it says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. He predestined us to be his children. And he expected to have children. That was his plan. So he, from the very foundation of time, expected our lives to accept the calling that he's made on each one of us. And in that expectation is tremendous blessings. He wants to bless us exceeding abundantly. Even in the manifestations, was there ever a time where he said, well, you kind of blew it, so I'm going to have to stretch my arm out? No, he kept saying how wonderful he loves us, and he wants to bless us, and he wants us to come near unto him. And that's what a mother with a child. We want our children, you know, we want them to call us today, or come see us, or just acknowledge us, you know, every time our children have birthdays. I remember the day they were born. And, you know, even in history of our timelines, we always think about, okay, well, I remember that because Tim was born then, and James was born then. And God knew each one of us from the time that he perceived us, you know, before we were in our mother's womb. So he set a great importance in placing our expectations and hope in him. He keeps saying, come to me. He can't do anything without us. This morning when I was journaling, he told me, your desires are the glue that holds us together. Because he so lives to meet the desires of our hearts. But he can't do it unless we allow him to. This week, Bob did a wonderful blessing on the Higby factor. That how important it is, our hope in life is the reality of Jesus Christ is coming back. He is coming back, Higby. And we have that. Is there anyone in this room that has any doubt that Jesus Christ is coming back? No. Now, is anyone in this room questioning that they're saved? No. Praise God, because we've been teaching the Word of God. You know, it's sad that someone would go to church their whole life and not know that they're saved. But there's a universe full of those people because they haven't, there have been teachers that haven't taught the Word of God. They've taught religion, and religion is basically bondage. But He's coming back. So what do we do until that time? We go, we're just talking about, well, I'm waiting for Higbee. No, we start expecting all the promises that God has given us. So look at Titus chapter 1, verse 2. So expectations are huge in our lives. Because we've got God that wants to be intimate in our lives, and without us talking to Him, He can't do His job. And He's given us a whole new life, a whole new nature, that Christ in us. So there's nothing we can't do, but we've got to turn to Him. Titus 1:2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. We have assurance that God is faithful, that He cannot even lie. He can't even turn a shadow of turning in Him. No little darkness. You know, we have these little white lies. They're really lies. Don't care what color they are. If it's not the truth, then there's no coloring of lies. No mortal, no carnal, venial, or whatever it is. It's either bad or it's not. But anyways, now we know, because God assures us that there's nothing He will say in His Word that is not true, we have the hope of eternal life. So we can trust it explicitly. If He said it, it's got to come to pass. Let's look at Psalms chapter 5, or Psalm 5. We're going to look a little bit into the word expectant. And then we're going to look at the level of expectation God wants for us. A few examples of people that had great expectations towards the power of God. How we can build our expectations for God's blessings and deliverance. So that's where we are today. You're there and I'm not. Okay. Psalm 5, and we're going to look at verse 3. It says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. And in the NIV, that look up is to wait in expectation. We wait expectantly when we pray. It's not a monologue. We shouldn't be expecting. Kevin calls Kathy and says, hey, Mom, how you doing? And then she doesn't say anything. It's like, well, that was a waste of time. You know, he wants to see what she's doing and have some fellowship with her. Well, God wants the same thing with us. It's not, okay, God, you know where I'm at right now and I got a problem. See you later. No, you want to have the problem the rest of your life. Some people are like that, called Debbie Downers. All they think about is the glass is half full. But it's full to your taking. God has given us everything we possibly need. It's not like He's got to figure out this situation when Andrew's in, and I don't know how He can meet that need, but He's figured it all out. Nothing new under the sun. Let's look at Psalm 27. But God has been expecting us, just waiting for us to turn to Him. Psalm 27, verse 14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That's that wait expectantly on the Lord. When I was 19 years old, my sister and I went over to Europe, and we got jobs there. And when I got over there, I went to the Catholic Church and found out that the doors were closed at the time that I went, because I was working a split shift. And I realized that, you know, maybe God didn't live in that building, and that maybe the whole world wasn't Catholic. So I said to God, show me the truth. And that at that time, within weeks, He started revealing me the truth. And we're going back to Germany in June, and I'm going to that little town and looking for that little church, just to, because at that very moment in time, I accepted God's expectancy of who I was. And I didn't know really who Jesus Christ was, being a Catholic, but when I heard the truth, I learned that He was my Savior and that it's Christ in me and how much more power I would have. But I'm really looking forward to that, because finally I got to expect what was right, and it was pretty cool. Psalm 62. But we all have great memories of what God's done for us, and like I tell Dan all the time, he has a testimony every day. Write it down, because there'll be times when you need to hear those testimonies and encourage yourself, because there is an adversary. But you know, the truth is, this is our Father's world. He conquered the adversary. He paralyzed him. And today it's Christ in us, and we have the victory that overcometh the world, our believing. So don't ever let the adversary think that you can only expect what you're at right now, but because God's got, the sky's the limit. Psalm 62, verse 5, it says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. That refuge, that hiding place. Isn't that amazing? Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your hearts before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. So what level of expectation does God want from us? He wants us to trust in Him. Look at Jeremiah 33. If He set the importance of us expecting, then He's going to share with us. He's already set the parameters from the very foundation of the world. He called us out, expecting us to answer that phone call, that call. Psalm 33 is a great verse. It says, 33 verse 3. I don't use this Bible very often, it's kind of thin pages. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." What does God expect of you? To call unto Him. And He will answer, and He'll show you great and mighty things which you don't even know about. We are to expect the impossible. God is the God of the impossible. But He can't work unless we call out to Him. Ephesians 3:20, I think we all know, let's look at that, because that's something that God expects us to expect in our lives. Ephesians 3:20, this is one of my favorite verses, and I think this is one that probably turns the tide for everyone when they start to hear the word. It's how glorious God is. Says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." What does God expect out of us? It says that He wants to do exceeding abundantly. What does He expect us to do? To ask. Ask and think. Dream. Have desires. That's your responsibility. His responsibility is He's going to provide exceeding abundantly. We got to raise our level of expectation. Anybody in that soup? Yeah, we all, I think. We all have so much available. Yeah, we're limited in our minds, in our expectations, in our thinking, in our asking. Look at Philippians chapter 4. This is what God expects us to do. He says to call unto Him, to ask. I always say, if you don't know what to say, just say help, and He's got you covered. Because He already knows what's going on in your life anyway, so just give Him the chance to take care of you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Let's start. "Be careful for nothing," really? "But in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing, for not one thing. What does he expect you to do? To cast your care on him, because he's got it all covered. So you are not, he's expecting you not to be anxious, but to really look to him. How many times does he say it to us? That's what will build our level of expectation. That's what he expects. Let's look at a couple people in the Word that expected great things and they received it. How about Mark? Matthew, Mark, chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. This is, let me read it. And they came to Jericho, and as they went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the wayside begging. So here is blind begging Bartimaeus. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, and he calleth thee. Here is a man who's sitting by the wayside who's been blind, probably his whole life, and he's heard about Jesus. So he is not going to miss an opportunity to come before Jesus, because he's heard he heals and delivers. And what was his expectation? To be delivered that day. But it's interesting, what did Jesus say? And he cast away his garment, he jumped up, cast away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? You know, that's an interesting question, because you think, well, it's kind of obvious. There's a man, he's blind, he's a beggar. Well, he has a couple opportunities there. So how far does he want to go in his expectations of receiving deliverance? He could say, well, you know, can you take away this blindness? I'd rather at least have eyes to see so I could find some food somewhere. You know, he could have gone, he had lots of choices. But Jesus asked him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. You know, when he was called, he put off that robe, and that robe was part of he was a beggar, and his identity was in that robe. He threw that away. He had a new identity now. He was expecting wholeness, and he was excited about it. He was anticipating it, and, you know, he probably didn't slowly come by. He ran up to the Lord and got that. That's the big question. What are you expecting? And that's something we all have to think about. Gabe's teacher gave him an amazing CD called Doing the Impossible. And we got a copy of it, and I think we've probably made 30 copies of it. I think it's one of the most inspiring group of testimonies of God doing the impossible. And I think I'm on my third or fourth time listening to it. And these people expected that they had the God of the impossible running their lives. And I think about David Gibbs' testimony about his mom. And if you haven't heard it, please listen to it today, because it'll change your life. Because it'll build an expectancy of your God that maybe you haven't really seen. Or push you to think, if he can do that for him, he can do it for me. You know, God is not a respecter of persons. What he will do for Todd, he will do for me. So David Gibbs' testimony, he talked about his mother. His mother was a great woman. She was worked in the church, played the piano. They had the key to the church. They were there all the time, and she got polio. And she became completely disabled to the point, actually they took her away for 2 years when he was 8 years old. And she came back. She could not dress herself, feed herself, do anything. And when she came home, they had devotions. They hadn't had it for 2 years. Mom was kind of the stalwart of the family, just holding the family together. And Dad said, it's time to pray. And Mom wanted to still have a purpose in God's plan. And the minister came, first minister came, and he said, she says, Minister, I want to know what I can do for God. And he said, Mrs. Gibbs, you're all washed up. God's done with you. I don't know what you did. But, you know, there's people like that. That's called the devil. People that take away hope. And if you got a Bible, this hope will not ever leave. It's because God is sure. It's an anchor to the soul. So a second minister came and he says, Mrs. Gibbs, we got a job for you. We want to start a Sunday school and we don't have any kids. So how about you doing it? And her son's thinking, she can't even hold the Bible. Well, this woman decided, I'm going to go down to the, I need a bus because this is a big town and I need to bring kids in. So she asked the bus, how many of you have heard this story? Great. Well, that's awesome. She went down to the local bus company and said, I need a bus. And finally got to the owner who had the authority to give it to her. And bottom line is, she apologized for her weak believing that she really needed 3 buses. And then he says, who's going to drive in? She goes, oh, well, I need 3 drivers as well. So he gave her the buses and the drivers. By the end of this period of time, they had 55 buses and 55 drivers. They had a minimum of 5,000 children in the Sunday school. And her God was not done with her. She expected that God would really make her useful. And God can do that with each one of us. But I thought, boy, what a story. And all the other things that are on there, it just built my expectation or my thinking, what am I expecting? You look in Acts chapter 3, the lame man, he was expecting to receive. And he received, right? And God's he doesn't say, well, you know, why don't you go in the corner and wait a while till you get your expectations right? He's filled you. Every one of us have the same measure of Holy Spirit. We have the same relationship. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What can't God do for us? In our own lives, if God will heal us, and he will, what do you do if you don't get healed immediately? Will you continue to build up in your mind and heart God's love? And you don't back down. I think that our biggest problem is we come up with plan B. Well, if God can't, if it doesn't happen, then I've got another source. Did God ever say in his word that he is second? Or check me out, and if I'm not going to make it happen, then, you know, do something else. He says to be single-minded, that he is the God. He's a jealous God. He doesn't want us to be going to other places. He wants us to trust him explicitly. If your child had a need and he went to the neighbors because he was afraid that you couldn't take care of him, I'd say you were pretty, he needed some help with that area. Yeah, that's how God feels. Do we do that? Sure we do. We don't intend to, but I think so many times he can't be discouraged, but if he could, he would be. But he's just all loving. Every morning his faithfulness is new. So how do we build our expectations for God's blessings and deliverance? Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3. And God tells us if we're to have it, then he's got to tell us how to do it. Because this old world is trying to mold us a certain way to defeat us. But we are super conquerors, more than conquerors. Nothing that God does is little. It's a big gulp all the time. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding." See, that's where the plan B comes in. Try our own understanding. Well, if he really said it, I don't know. He said he could heal me, but, you know, my little toe's not that big. Yeah, it can cause a lot of pain. How big do you want it to? How big do you need help? In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. Trust. What does that mean? To totally rely on. It's not, yeah, I trust you, but there's lots of sayings about that. We won't get into that. People, and even in marriage, we're to trust one another. And, so, and people think, well, you got to earn my trust. If God says trust, you don't have to earn it. You need to receive it. Psalm 91. Funny, I typed it wrong. Psalm 91, the secret place. You know, this is so important to our Heavenly Father, is that we come to him. That we just bare our hearts. Let's start in Psalm 91 and I think we were going to, well, let's do 91:1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor by the arrow that flieth by day. You know, the secret place is a place where we can go expecting to hear from the Father, expecting to sit on his lap. You know, it says in Hebrews that we come before the throne of grace. Well, the secret place is like God's got a living room and this great big lovely couch. My couch is pretty and flowery. And my secret place. And it's a place for refuge in the time of storm. You know, refuge is a place with a shelter. Well, when we have those storms that hit us in life, we go to that secret place. We establish our hearts before him and present to him that unwavering faith that he is the one that we trust, that there's no other course that I'm going to go, but I need deliverance. So, Father, I throw my whole heart unto you. And you continue to go there and repeat to him, you are all that I have. You are my answer. And you stay faithful to that, you'll receive it. And then just wait for God to do the impossible in your life because you open the door for him. You don't have any defaults in that secret place. You can't go back to plan B. God's it. So I dare you, go to that secret place and give him all those worries, those fears, that healing that you need, that financial deliverance you need, joy that you need restored, anything like that. He's there. He wants us to speak in tongues. How can he communicate unless we speak his language? And he made that language so easy. All of us can speak it. A 3-year-old can speak it. So it's a time of encouragement and a time that you're alone with him, and you can spend 5 minutes in that secret place and change your life, or you could spend hours, but you have to spend it. Just like with our children, we want to have them remember that we're a mom, and we did put a little effort into it. But the important thing is that we really do, we've got a lot for our Lord to do through us, and just like Mrs. Gibbs, you think physically she didn't have it, but she didn't look at the circumstances. That's a very important thing. You don't look at the storm. You become a water walker. All of us can be water walkers. Peter did it. Everybody else in the boat could have done it. But he did it, and that's the type of God that still works with each one of us where we're at, in those baby steps. But he's so expecting us to allow him to be God. He says, I am that I am. I am whatever you need. That's who he is. He hasn't defined himself. He can't narrow himself down. Everything you need, he's there. And let's close with Romans chapter 15. I hope it's kind of giving you a little food for thought of just how great God is and how great your lives are and how much that we can do to enjoy life to the fullest and to help others that do not know the truth. Romans 15:13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. And that's that believing, through, and Joyce Meyer says through the Amplified says, through the experience of your faith, which is your expectations in him, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants us to be filled with all joy and peace in our expectations in him. Abound in hope. We know that Christ is coming back. We've got the Higby factor. We know that God has expected from the very beginning of time that we would be his little children, and he's there to take care of us. So never quit expecting in the God of the impossible. He is expecting to meet the desires of your heart. So that's my message for today. So God bless you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this wonderful time that we can come together with such an amazing group of my brothers and sisters, how we are so blessed to know you, to know the truth, to know that you have a tremendous plan for each one of us, and all it takes is us expecting that you will be our God and that you will do the impossible, which is our expectations. So I thank you for an amazing week ahead as we look to you, and I thank you for putting those people in our path that we can truly help them see that you are a reality. Thank you for blessing all of our wonderful moms today and for all of our children and for just this amazing life that you've provided for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.
Well, bless your hearts. Let's have sweet fellowship afterwards. I want to make sure moms get their flowers, special little flower for you. So have a great, wonderful day, believing God and having great expectations, okay?
Amen.
All right, God bless you.
I love that. Great expectations. Great expectations.
Yes, sir.
We do.
I'll take it. I'm a star. Jesus Christ is a star. But I'm a sister. I'm related.
Yeah. 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 Make sure we take you out to dinner.
The first thing I'm going to do is go to the bank.